Singapore is fully committed to doing our part in this global movement to tackle climate change. But unlike many other countries, we are highly disadvantaged by a lack of natural renewable energy sources. We do not have huge rivers or hot springs to draw hydro or geothermal power. We do not have the land for wind or solar energy to be sufficient for our own needs. But thankfully, green technologies have been improving by leaps and bounds. Alternative low carbon solutions like carbon capture, utilization and storage, and hydrogen are starting to look more plausible. Carbon markets are also growing steadily. At COP26, Singapore helped to finalize a landmark decision on Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, which unlocks the door for carbon credits to be traded on a global basis. Such developments give us greater confidence to review our long-term climate goals. 2 years ago, we made an international commitment to peak our emissions around 2030, and we also announced our long-term low emissions development strategy, or LEDS, to halve our emissions from its peak by 2050 and to achieve net zero emissions as soon as viable in the second half of the century. Singapore takes these commitments very seriously. We are on track to achieving our 2030 target. We have since reviewed our longer-term plans. With advances in technology and new opportunities for international collaboration in areas like carbon markets, we believe we can bring forward our net zero timeline. We will therefore raise our ambition to achieve net zero emissions by or around mid-century. We will consult closely with industry and citizen stakeholder groups to firm up and finalize our plans before making a formal revision of our LEDS later this year. To achieve this net zero ambition, we will need to set the right price of carbon, so that businesses and individuals will be able to internalize the cost of carbon and take actions to moderate their emissions. When we introduced the carbon tax in 2019, we kept the initial tax low at $5 per ton of emissions to give businesses time to adjust. To move decisively to achieve our new net zero ambition, we will need a higher carbon tax. I will therefore raise our carbon tax to $25 per ton in 2024 and 2025, and $45 per ton in 2026 and 2027, with a view to reaching $50 to $80 per ton by 2030. The current tax of $5 per ton will remain unchanged until 2023, as previously stated. And we are pacing the increases to the carbon tax between now and 2030 and will announce subsequent increases ahead of time. This will provide certainty for businesses. Besides this, we will not impose an additional carbon tax on the use of petrol, diesel, and compressed natural gas. These already have excise duties that encourage users to moderate their fuel consumption and hence emissions. We will continue to review and adjust these fuel excise duties periodically. I appreciate that some businesses and households may require support as they adjust to the carbon tax increase. For example, we are mindful that firms in our emissions-intensive and trade-exposed sectors may face higher costs than those in countries with lower or no carbon tax. Some will need a little more time to make the necessary reduction in emissions or investment in cleaner technologies. So to support such firms and manage the near-term impact on their competitiveness, we will put in place a transition framework. Such transition frameworks are found in many countries with carbon taxes. They provide existing companies with allowances for a share of their emissions. For our framework, The allowances will be determined based on efficiency standards and decarbonization targets. This will help mitigate the impact on business costs while still encouraging decarbonization. We will continue to engage affected companies on the design of the framework prior to its implementation in 2024. From 2024, we will also allow businesses to use high-quality international carbon credits to offset up to 5% of their taxable emissions in lieu of paying carbon tax. This will moderate the impact for companies. It will also help create local demand for high-quality carbon credits and catalyze the development of well-functioning and regulated carbon markets. We will also do more to support companies, especially SMEs, to invest in energy-efficient equipment and decarbonization solutions. For households, the higher carbon tax will be felt mainly through an increase in utility bills. At $25 per tonne, this would translate to an increase of about $4 per month in the utility bills for an average four-room HDB household. We will provide support, such as additional USAFE rebates, to help cushion the impact during the transition. And more details will be announced next year, ahead of the carbon tax increase in 2024. I should clarify that I do not expect to derive additional revenue from this increase in the carbon tax. Some of the revenue will be used to cushion the impact on households and businesses. A large part of the revenue will be used to support a decisive shift toward decarbonisation through investments in new low-carbon and more energy-efficient solutions. These investments will help to lower emissions and bring us closer towards our net zero goal.